This is HPR episode 2476 entitled GNU Orc, Part 9, and is part of the series Learning Orc. It is hosted by BeEasy and is about 33 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, in Part 9 of the series, we discuss the print function.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello, Hacker Public Radio fans. This is BeEasy once again with another exciting episode regarding the very known but often not very well known utility of awk. In this episode, we're going to be talking about some functionality with a function called printf. If you are familiar with C, printf is a familiar statement to you if you're using a programmer in other languages like Python. The idea of printf is very similar to that as well. And I'm going to go into it a little bit in this episode. So without any further ado, I'm going to be using the GNU awk man page, which is from www.gnu.org/software/gauk/manual/gauk.html #printf. And so I have some notes, but I'm also going to just point you directly to the guide, and I have some examples to go over as well. So from the documentation, the printf function allows for greater control over output in comparison to print. To follow along, you can either go over with the manual or just listen up and take any pointers as you hear them. So the basic syntax of printf in an awk statement is printf space, then the formatting, comma, and then the elements that you want to format. And so it could be item one, it could be item one, item two, item three, item four. So however many items you want to format goes after the formatting column. So in C or in Python, it's similar to the printf function in C and the dot format function, a string method in Python. So if you have an idea of what those things are, you'll have a good idea of what printf is. So the big difference between printf and awk is that, one of the big differences is that when you do a print statement, it automatically adds a new line to the end of the statement. Printf does not do that. So if you want to have different lines for every row, you have to do an escape character for, or a special character for new line, which is \n. So if you remember any of the previous episodes, I had this example CSV file called file1.csv, which just has a bunch of columns with the name of a fruit, the color of it, the amount, and the quantity or something like that. So in this example, if I do awk space dash capital F comma, so saying looking for the formatting of the field delimiter F comma in single parentheses NR exclamation point equal sign, so not equals one. So if you're not talking about the first row, printf color space percent s space has space percent s dot. and then comma, close the close parentheses, and then not close parentheses, close double quotes, comma, $2, $3. What it's going to do, it's going to say the color blank has blank. And it's going to look in the second column for the first blank, and it's going to look in the third column for the second blank. I don't know if that makes sense, but if you're familiar with other systems, it's very similar to that. So the idea is you put in placeholder attributes for the things that are not perfectly defined strings, and then you fill in the blanks with every row of that column using the dollar sign notation that you know already from using awk. So that little placeholder, there are two main functions that happens in that placeholder, and those are control letters and formatting options. And so control letters are things that, actually from the documentation and from my understanding, control letters control or cast the output of that placeholder to a specific type. And when I say type, I mean what programming you think of types like integer, string, float. And you can use this as a way to convert ints to floats, ints to chars, you know, ints to hex, hexadecimal, all types of, or hexadecimal to chars, all types of things that you can do with this. And so I'm not going to go over every single control letter because there's a good amount of them, but I want to go over the ones I've used or found most useful, and ones that I didn't know of that you probably wouldn't hear of. So like I said, there are ones for hex and other things, but %C will turn the output into a character. So printf and double quotes, %C, and then outside the double quotes, comma, 65 will print the 65th character in the character table, which is the letter A. So I don't know if you ever have use for that, but that's something that is available. Something that's more useful are using %I or %D to cast to float. So if I say to cast to integer. So if I say printf and double quotes %I outside the double quotes comma 3.4, it's going to print 3 because it's going to change that 3.4 to an integer. If I use %f, it's going to cast it to float. So if I do printf inside of the double quotes C, comma, 65, instead of just printing 65, it's going to print 65.000 with a bunch of trailing zeros at the end. We can control how many zeros are at the end using the formatting, which we'll talk about in a little bit. So there's also percent lowercase e and percent uppercase e, which do scientific notation. So e to the number. So and then you can control how many characters you want to use before it starts to do e to the. So if you want 65 to go like out of the box, if you do printf percent e 65, it's going to do 6.5 times 0.00 6.5000 e plus 01. But you, if you wanted 6.5 to be just left as 65, just left as 65, but have 6,500, there's ways to control when to actually use the scientific notation and when not to, which is useful because not most people can just read 65, but it might be useful to have, you know, 8,327 using scientific notation. So like I was saying, to do that, you use this other control letter called %G, and that will cast, and then you can use that with a combination of that with formatting options to say how many letters you want, how many numbers you want to use in your, before you start doing scientific notation. So if I did printf and double quotes %2.2G and then comma 65, it'll leave 65 alone. But if I did 6,650, it would do 6.5e. Or if I changed it and said use 0.1g and did 65, it would now go 6e, e to the first. So I hope that's clear. The basic idea is that you can control scientific notation, the amount of characters that you want to go into scientific notation, and if you want to, and how you want to round that scientific notation, basically how many significant figures you want to have. Another thing that you can do is %s, which is to cast it to a string. So the difference between %c and %s is that, say the thing that you want to quote in the placeholder was a full string of like the word statement. %c would only print the first letter because it's going to cast it to a card, which is just a single character, whereas %s would cast it as a string in its entirety. %u cast things to an unsigned int, which is has some really weird properties. So I think this is it's either 32 or 64 bit integer. And if you go if you use a negative number, it's going to start at the back of that 32 bit string and work its way back. So print f parentheses, I mean double quotes, %u 6 is going to give you the number 6. But if you do negative 6, it's going to actually do like 18446744073709551610, which is the end of the how many bits are held in the unsigned int minus 6. It's a weird thing. I don't know when you'd ever want to use that. I'm sure there is some use case for that. But there you go. And there are a lot of others, but you can go see them in the documentation. Now, like I said, there's two big parts of printf. One is the control letters. The other part is the formatting. And I use this all the time. I use it sometimes in awk when I want to make something pretty, but I use it all the time when I'm programming in other languages, where I want to be able to make a command line utility. And actually, awk is a perfect candidate for this as well, where you want to be able to control how many spaces there are in the block of text that you are that you want to control. And so in the show notes, you'll see a little a crude illustration of what I mean by this. And first I'll start out with the statement, and then I'll talk about the crude example. So let me see. I just want to pull up my example. Let me see. I have a printf basic, and then I have the fancy printf. Some call. So if you remember in one of my previous episodes, I did, I talked about how do you write a awk file and how to use things like begin and end and do things to do sums and counts. So in the previous version, I did, let me see, I want to get these two files side by side. So in the previous version, I had a file that did a begin, and then did fs equals, in double quotes, comma, ofs equals, in double quotes, comma. So I'm saying the input file, field separator is comma, and the output file separator is comma. And then after that, on the next line, print, in double quotes, color, comma, sum. So I'm just doing a header line. And then after that, I'm doing that little for loop thing where I do, A inside of square brackets, $2 plus equals $3. And then after that, I do a for A and B, for B and A, print B comma A bracket B. So if you remember from that episode, that's the way that I can say, here's one row will have all the colors and one row will have all the sums of the colors, a sum of the amount of that color. So column 3 is the amount. So if I wanted to do that, instead of just having it print in any old format, what you'll see is that, you know, some of the letters, some of the when you print it out, the word purple has more letters than the word red. So red is only going to use up three spaces before the comma, and purple is going to use up, seven. And so you're going to have this little, if you wanted to look at where the numbers are, they're not going to be in a straight line. That's basically the limitation of when you use the print statement. So if you want to get around that and make a nice, neat little table, you can use printf to do that. And so in my example, I'm going another step forward, and this example will be in the show notes, where I'm doing a similar print, a begin statement, when I go begin at, fs equals in double quotes comma, and then after the begin statement's over, nr not equals one, just like we were doing before, so I'm not looking at the first row. And then I'm going to have four variables in this. I'm going to have A, B, C, and D. That's just what I chose to use. It's not very descriptive, but it's, in this simple example, it shouldn't be too confusing. So I'm going A inside of square brackets, $2, so plus equals $3. So I'm going to have all of the colors, and then I'm going to do a sum of the amounts. And then I'm going to do a C plus equals $3. So that is just looking at, not by color, but by the total amount. And then I do D plus equals 1. And that's going to give me the count. So not $1, but just 1, the number 1. So every row, just add 1 to this variable called D. So far, you see I have A, B, A, C, and D, where A is all the colors in a group. And then inside of the brackets is going to be the count of how many there are in that color for all the different fruits. C is going to be the total count. D is going to be the total sum. D is going to be the total count. And so then after that, I do an N. And inside my N statement, I do a for B and A, like we did in the other examples. But at this time, instead of doing just a print, I'm doing a printf, and inside of double quotes, I'm going color, colon, space, percent minus 7s, sum, colon, space, percent 2i, and then backslash n, and close the double quote, and then comma, b, comma, ab. That's the end of that. That's the end of the for statement. Then after that, I'm doing a print of just 22 dashes. And then after that, I'm doing a printf and double quotes, percent minus 18s, space, percent 3i, backslash n, close the double quote, comma, the words total sum inside of double quotes, comma, C. So if I can explain that, I'm going to say, and I'll get into what the formatting means in a little bit, but I'm saying, you'll see that I have these two variables, placeholders. One is an S and one is an I. And I'm going to replace the first one with the words total sum, and I'm going to replace the second one with the letter, with the variable that's held in, the value that's held in variable C. And then on the next line, I'm doing something similar. Print F, and then inside the double quotes, percent minus 18S, minus 3, percent 3I, backslash N, and I'm doing total count, colon, D. So on this line, you can see I'm going to replace the first thing with the word total count, and then the second thing with what the value that's stored in D, which is an integer. And then on the last line, I do a print F, similarly, with a percent, a minus 18s, percent 3.1f, backslash n, close the double quote, mean, colon, comma, c, divided by d. So if I can explain that one, I'm doing a similar thing where I'm going to still hold 18, I'll give away the answer, I'm going to hold 18 spaces to hold the word mean, and then I'm going to do c divided by d to get the average. And I'm only going to use I'm going to use one placeholder. I want to get only one significant figure after the decimal. Wow. A lot of words to describe only a 16-line statement, which will be available to you in the show notes. But the idea, what's going to happen after you do that is you're going to have a nice little table with exactly 22 lines, and you're going to see color, then the color, then sum, and then the sum, and then you're going to have for every different color, you're going to have a sum of the colors. Then you're going to have a straight line, and then you're going to have total sum, and then all the way at the end, you're going to see the number of that's the total, and then total count. You're going to see the count, and then mean, and then you're going to see the mean with only two digits, and also the decimal point in between. And so you'll see that when you get the output, it's a nice clean table, and that's what you want a lot of times. And so the way I like to think of it, and if going back to my crude little illustration, is I count the spaces and I say, okay, I want my first variable. Like I look at. Sometimes I'll do like really precise. Sometimes I won't. But if I look at my data and I know that the longest one is going to be 8 characters, and I'll make a placeholder for a length of 10 so that everything will fit in that length. And then I will do a placeholder for the next variable and the next variable, depending on how long they're going to be. If I don't know how long they are, because it's a really big data set, I'll just hold a good amount of spaces, depending on how much screen space I'm willing to give up. So if I'm going to give up 80 characters and I only have three variables that I want to look at, I'll give the first, if I know one of them is like website URL, I'll give that one like 35 characters just to be safe. And so you'll see in the illustrations how you can leave a certain amount of room, and then you for that variable, and then you can say, you can use little tricks to make it either right justified or left justified. And I'm going to go through that how to do that right now. So I want to give the example first, because for me, I learn by example. So just hearing the example, I'm off and running. I can start work. But for those who who want to hear a little bit more in depth, here's what the formatting items do, really. I am going to talk about modifiers and the control letters in a little bit, but let's just continue with these with the formatters. So just doing the number is going to give you it's going to tell you how many spaces from the left you should put to hold this this amount of text or this whatever the string is. If you do a negative sign, it's going to put all the spaces, extra spaces, on the right. So that's why in my example I did -7 and -18, because I want my first thing to be all left justified. So so using 7, for example, and if the thing I want to hold is the word red, I want all of the spaces to be after the D. If I just did a regular 7, all the spaces that before the R would be available or blank. So that would be right justified. So that's the basic idea of how to use, and actually that will take you a long way. The other part that will take you a long way is for floating points. You do a point and then the number, and that is how many decimal points to use after the point. And so if you want this whole thing to hold 4 spaces, and so you only want to reserve 4 spaces for it, and if there's a decimal only allow three, you would do percent 4.3F. So the four is saying how many spaces to use. The 0.3 is telling you how many of those that I'm willing to use for the numbers after the decimal point. It's going to say, I'm going to go over that again. So for the point, for the percent F, the number before the point is how many characters you want to put before the point. And the after the point is how many characters you want to round your float to. So if I just go to my terminal here and I go awk, I'm just going to do a simple one. I'm just going to do inside of single quotes, squiggly bracket print F, I'm just doing the example right out of the documentation. It's percent, inside of double quotes, percent 4.3F, then close, and then comma, and then 1950, then close the bracket, and close the single quote. Yep, actually I don't need those. I can just do that. Yep. Then you'll see that I will get that didn't work. Yep, so basically the idea is if you look at the documentation, if you do a 4.3F and then you do the number, it's going to do 1950.000. And so if I did 95, it would go space 95.000. That's right. Okay. So I hope that I explained that right now. It's a lot easier when you're just looking at the examples. So if you, instead of wanting to put spaces in front, if you could instead put leading zeros, so using the zero in front of the in front of the item, you can go. So if I did zero I, it would. So if I did that would allow me to put leading zeros in front of any of the placeholders, and it's similar to what you do in Python, specifically with zfill. That's the zero. If you want to, let me go back and talk about a couple of these modifiers as well. If you want to, because a lot of times you'll want to repeat the same item over and over again. And so you can use positional modifier to get the position of that string. So for instance, if I have three columns and I want it to print the first column, the third column, the second column, the first column, and the third column again, you don't... you can use this modifier to do that. So if I did percent two dollar sign S, and that's going to say I want this one to be a space to be controlled by a string, but I want to use, so $2 sign is saying I want to use the second item. And then if I say percent $1 sign S, I want this to be the second dollar sign. Of the first item. Now, this is kind of, in my mind, this is kind of counterintuitive because when you use a regular print statement, you do dollar sign and then the number. And so that's one of the things that's a little bit confusing, at least for me. going through just one or two more examples because we're getting a little long now. You can do a plus sign before the modifier, which says that you should always allow for this item to be signed. So if you do a plus I, it's always going to be a sign in, or a plus float, it's always going to have the sign in front of it. I talked about the leading zeros. And then I talked about the width and the precision modifiers. So I think that's it. There's a lot to talk about here, and there's a lot more to even go through. Just the section on printf in the documentation is several pages long, and so I've scratched the surface. Hopefully I've given you just a little bit of a taste of what it can do, and hopefully I didn't confuse you too much, because sometimes hearing these things in audio form when they're written is not the most clear thing to understand. But I encourage you to look both at the GNU awk documentation and also Grimwire's documentation on set and awk. So if you go to www.grymoire.com and then /unix/awk.html, he does, he or she, I don't know who this is, actually does a lot of explanation of how to use awk, and it has lots of different examples. That was the first thing that I really used to do a lot of my learning of awk. And I suggest also, you know, if you're really interested in learning, not just this, but learning anything, to go ahead and try it and to start with some type of use case for what you need to do. So if you have a CSV file or an Excel file that you can convert to CSV, and there's something that you would normally just do in Excel where you just select all the lines and do sum, or you do a pivot table, try to use one of these tools instead. And you might ask yourself at the beginning, well, why would you want to do that? After you've done it and you see the power that you can get out of it without ever having to open up a program that takes, I don't know, lots of time to open up, and something that is not easily repeatable versus making a script, you can repeat it and you can do it on huge sample sets. You'll get the value. Sometimes I work with data that's either too big to fit in Excel or LibreOffice Calc, which is what I use most of the time, or if it is going to fit in there, it's going to be crashy or slow, and it just, and awk just flies through that data. So definitely check it out. Also, if there's a book I could recommend, there's a book called Data Science on the Command Line, and I'll put that in the show notes as well. But that also has some examples of awk and a whole bunch of other command line utilities that you can use to process data really quickly. All right, so that's it for this episode of Hacker Public Radio. And as we like to say here in Be Easy Land, keep hacking.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.